counted among the outlaws. He said, "Come, follow me." People from all walks of life since have been becoming outlaws.
Out of my system. Well, I might stay out all night. Come on now, baby. We're gonna do a little wrong, so I know what's right. I wanna sit out on the porch telling stories about my glory days when I'm pushing 80. How am I ever gonna get to be old and wise if I ain't ever young and crazy?
Frankie Ballard is a country blues rocker, which is right up my alley. If I was, actually, you can see I got a lot of guitars here. If I actually knew how to play them, I would try to play like he does. I'm a fan. I actually went to one of his concerts here recently over the winter in the Detroit area. He released the album El Rio to critical acclaim, and Rolling Stone named it one of the best in country music. His previous album had three consecutive hits. You probably remember Hell of a Life, Sunshine and Whiskey, and Young and Crazy. He's performed with Bob Seger, Keith Urban, Luke Bryan, Kenny Chesney, and others. And currently, I just think I follow him on social media. He seems to be all over the place. Welcome, Frankie Ballard.
Hey, thank you, Ken. I appreciate it. It's nice to be here.
I'm glad you took the time. I appreciate it. Here's what I thought we'd do. Hopefully no one's done this before. I know you've done tons of interviews, and they probably all kind of get to be the same. This is sort of like, this is your life, except I changed it. But these are your quotes. Okay. So there's this website I ran across. I don't know if you've seen it before. It's called Brainy Quotes. And they have quotes like people from like Einstein and all this kind of thing, but they must just pull quotes from interviews or something. You'll let me know if these are real quotes from yours, but they actually had a Frankie Ballard page of Frankie Ballard quotes.
Wow.
Yeah. So we'll go through. I have no questions prepared other than things you've actually said, and then you can respond to them.
Wow. This is sort of nerve-wracking.
Yeah, a little bit. I know it's not as bad as This Is Your Life. I'm not going to pull any old elementary teachers out or anything like that.
That's good.
These are your quotes. Actually, I prepared a little graphic. So let's find that. There we are. These are your quotes. I'm a Detroit Tigers fan through and through. Frankie Ballard.
Yes. That will never change. That will never change. Born in Battle Creek, Michigan, where Tony the Tiger was born. Also, so I went to the old Tiger Stadium a few times with my dad back in the late 80s and early 90s, and he was always a Detroit Tigers fan. My dad actually went to 80 home games in 1968 when they won the championship. So he brought me up and brought me into the fold, and even though I live in Nashville now, even if there was a professional baseball team here, there's no way I could ever leave my allegiance to the Tigers.
That's right. This next quote actually goes along with that one. I probably would have never made it through college without baseball. So I'm thankful for that. I really am proud that I got to play at that level, Frankie.
Yes. Yeah. I like.
You played college ball?
I did. I went to Mott Community College for my first year in Flint, Michigan. And had a pretty good season, and then was recruited to Western Michigan and became a Bronco to finish my career. And I like to say that I went to college to play baseball and accidentally graduated.
What position did you play?
I came in as a middle infielder, but I ended up playing a lot of right field at Western because our middle infielders were future big leaguers. One of them was Adam Rosales, who ended up playing 10 years in the major leagues. So I ended up playing a lot of outfield, a little bit of second base as well. Kind of a utility player.
What'd you graduate in?
Educationally speaking?
Yeah.
Communications. I tried to take a path that I knew I could be successful at, but it was all a means to an end, which was playing baseball. I just had to keep a 2.5 GPA in order to stay on the field. So my focus was never academic as much as it was athletic, but I'm very, very grateful for the education now. It feels great to know I have that in the bank and then finished something I started, but baseball is really the reason why I went in the first place.
All right. Got another quote. Moving on. I'm a huge Travis Tritt fan, and I'm a big Southern Rock guy.
That sounds like it was an old quote.
I don't even know if these are real. So is that something you would have said at some point?
It might have. You know, I was starting off playing in Kalamazoo, Michigan, and Battle Creek, and sort of regionally playing in bars and honky-tonks, and that was one of my go-to cover artists. You know, I smell T-R-O-U-B-L-E.
Or yeah.
Here's a quarter.
Here's a quarter. Yeah.
Yeah.
So well, I good songs.
Used to use a lot of Travis Tritt songs in my honky-tonk days.
Did you play music at all? Well, you've been too busy. I was going to say during college, but you could have been doing the bar scene if you're probably busy with the baseball.
Yeah, it's funny how that happened. You know, I certainly at some point realized my future was not going to be in the big leagues, and that dream was coming to an end. And at the same time, I started to meet musicians in the area and go to some of the blues jams, watch bands. And so in one dream sort of coming to an end, this other dream of playing music started to be born. And I sort of let go of the baseball and put down my glove and picked up the guitar somewhere around 20 or 21. You know, I remember asking my coach if I could bring a guitar out on the road with us on the baseball bus. And he said no. And that was mostly because we had so much other gear to take care of. But Southern rock, you know, Lynyrd Skynyrd and a lot of the Allman Brothers music. I really fell in love with the guitar.
Now you play it.
Man, but the solo guitar tones of Duane Allman and those guys really kind of took me to another place I've never been.
Yeah, you're not just a chord strummer. I mean, there's videos on YouTube where you're I think Keith Urban's trying to keep up with you on some gorgeous satellite song I saw. How do you get to play at that level? Is that just from playing every day, or
I think my influence for being a lead guitar player was Stevie Ray Vaughan. I remember one time my mom had PBS on in the kitchen making dinner, and Austin City Limits Stevie Ray Vaughan performance came on, and I was just mesmerized. I remember thinking I'd never seen anybody play like that before. Stevie Ray kind of opened up my mind to, okay, there's a difference between a rhythm guitar player and a lead guitar player, somebody who plays solos, individual notes and melodies. Ever since I saw him and his command over the instrument, I've been trying to play like him, or I'm still working on it. But yeah, I would just say it's time under tension, trying to figure it out. And day after day, that guitar has been a companion of mine, and still trying to master it. But I loved the idea of being able to step out in front and play some melodies and say some things that maybe I couldn't sing or say with my voice. This was another instrument to use. And so I love the idea of exploring that.
All right. Next quote. I don't really have any hobbies. Frankie Ballard.
It's true. It's kind of remains true to this day. I have habits, that's for sure.
That one made me laugh.
Yeah, I probably should. It's probably a healthy practice to develop a hobby. But it seems like every spare minute I have, and especially now with the family, it's hard to pick up a golf club or something along those lines. You know, I always go back to the guitar. If I have a spare moment, it seems like I'm always looking for the nearest guitar, because that's really my love. And a hobby, maybe somewhat of an exercise. You know, I've been trying to get into boxing a little bit.
Really?
That's been kind of a hobby, because I don't want to do that competitively, that's for sure. But I love hitting the heavy bag and kind of learning about that sport. But exercise is a bit of a hobby, but again, that's more of a habit too that I'm trying to create. So I don't know, I just don't have time for any hobbies.
Right. I'd like to wrestle an alligator and fly a fighter jet.
That sounds like a younger version of speaking as well. Yeah, definitely the fighter jet one. I think had I not got the baseball scholarship and opportunity when I was 18, I might have ended up in the military. And there was definitely a competition, enough of a competition in me that would have got me into a fighter jet. I actually went and talked to an Air Force recruiter and a Marine Corps recruiter about flight school, because that was always something I thought I could do. And I still look up at the sky sometimes and wonder. But the wrestling and alligator thing, I'm not sure what that was all about. Maybe just me.
It sounds cool.
Talking trash as a younger man.
I caught an alligator once by accident in Florida fishing.
What did you do?
Well, I probably shouldn't say, because the end of the story is the alligator died, and it's illegal, or at least it used to be, to kill alligators in Florida. But I was with a pro. I worked in television down there, and I was with a pro bass fisher guy. We're fishing at this pond. But anyways, this alligator went down and ate my lure, swallowed it whole, and I'm like, well, let's cut the line. Well, the guy says, that's my favorite lure, so he can't. So he says, this happens all the time to me. He lives in Tennessee. I don't know where he said. He lives in Tennessee, but he travels. And he's like, I've had alligator problems before. He tells me what to do. Just reel it in slow, but be careful. They run like 35 miles an hour. So if he starts running, zigzag. So anyways, it had two legs up on the shore. And, okay, I'm going too long in this story. But basically, he grabs a piece of wood and he says, knock it on the head, just to knock it out so that we can get the lure. How hard? He says, well, do you want it to wake up? So I gave it a good knock. So he flips it over, because if it wakes up, apparently they can't really do much when they're upside down. And unfortunately, he never woke up. So I'm kind of been on the lam for, I don't know, like 25 years for that incident. But he did get his lure back. That's my... Didn't wrestle it, but
I think that's an animal that I really wouldn't want to mess with.
Yeah, they're surprisingly fast. I'm skipping a couple here. I see so many people living in a bubble. They want to be safe. They want. Do you think these are just coming from old interviews,
like randomly?
How's like old Twitter? Old Twitter.
Old Twitter post
came out. I think I was saying these things on that.
Okay. Well, they're coming back to haunt you. Digital footprint. I see so many people living in a bubble. They want to be safe. They want their kids to be safe. And they want their friends to be safe, and I get that. That's awesome and really admirable. But life is not about who gets out the cleanest at the end or who's the most well-preserved and healthiest.
Yeah, well, I think that's true. That's true. And I would have to say now that what that means to me more is it's where your faith comes in, you know, because the Bible says we're all going to die someday, you know. It is appointed unto man once to die, and then comes judgment. So if you're not a believer, this is all there is, you know. Life is here and now, and once you die, that's it. The darkness washes over, and you've gone out of existence. And so I see people trying to preserve that existence as long as they can, and I guess that's a somewhat noble endeavor, but it's also a selfish endeavor, you know. It's a difficult conversation to have, you know, getting older, and technology has become so amazing that we can prolong our lives to the absolute max, it seems. But it also begs the question, you know, which is a more noble death, you know, to go out by a grizzly bear, or to, you know, sort of fade away and become a burden to your family. So I think there's also a different perspective, though, now as a dad. You know, I look at my daughter and definitely want to keep her safe, keep her protected. But at the same time, life just can't be about trying to make it as far and wide as possible, you know. But what is it? What does your life mean? What have you done to, you know, help others, not just help yourself and preserve yourself? So I think that one still rings pretty true for me.
And I was leading to those. So I actually have some quotes that, like, actually, this one's more current because it's your Instagram liner. While I have a life to live, thank you, King Jesus, you cleansed me and I didn't earn it. What has brought you to this point in your faith? Is it recent? Is it rekindled? Or what's your story there?
I'm glad you asked. It's definitely recent. It's more of a recent development, although it's been ongoing. I was born Catholic, you know, baptized as a little baby in the Catholic Church. And then, you know, found sort of the charismatic movement in my early 20s. But neither the Catholic Church nor the charismatic church really preaches the true gospel. And I would say about 2 years ago, during the end of the pandemic, you know, season, I discovered Reformed theology. And, you know, you can believe in God and you can believe in Jesus, but you need to believe the full truth before I think that you're actually saved. And I'm not sure that I was saved. I had a heart for Christ, and I had a longing for heaven, and I understood the virtue in the stories about Jesus, but I'm not sure that before a couple of years ago, I really understood what the gospel was. And it's the gospel alone that can save us. And so I understood it and then believed what I understood. And I believe it's that truth that sets you free. So I really feel, it's a recent development, at least my salvation is, but it's been a journey. You know, God has been bringing me through, and maybe he needed me to understand some of the false systems before I could, you know, grab hold of what was true. And that statement, you know, I was cleansed and I didn't earn it, I think is where the gospel really needs to start, you know. I didn't really understand myself as a sinner, as by nature an object of God's wrath, by nature unwilling and unable to search after God, you know. So it's coming to the cross knowing that there's no other way into heaven. It's coming to the cross and realizing I'm not worthy. I'm not going to be able to elevate myself to a place that's acceptable to a holy God. It's coming and getting on your knees, so to speak, and crying out like the publican, beating his chest and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Because without that mercy, without my sin, my life being put on the cross, being nailed to the cross, and without Christ's perfect life being credited to my account, without that atonement, without that transaction, that justification, I'm not going to get it, you know. And so that's the amazing grace. That's the amazing grace that he would offer that to me. And so I understood that. I believed that. And that's really changed my life, you know.
How does that affect your career or at all? Does it affect your outlook or where you want your career or music to go? Does it mix over to your writing and your thinking and your playing? Or is that kind of a separate thing and this is more private? Or can it not be really separated because it's who you are and your music is who you are? Or how does that play out in your head? Or is it still playing out?
Well, yeah, definitely all the above, Ken. It's an ongoing process, but it can't be separated. There is a very true sense that everything I've been doing, you know, since I was a boy has been about me. It's been a selfish pursuit. It's been an ambition of my flesh, you know, to whether it's about my baseball career or my music career, you know. I mean, hey, check this song out. You really need to listen to this, or this is important. You know, watch this. Look at me. That is all a very it's a manifestation of my own pride. And I think when you come to the cross and realize that's all garbage that you can't bring past the cross. And so I'm thankful that I have a career, and I'm thankful that I have a job that I absolutely love. But the music business and writing songs and putting out albums, you know, that comes with a message. So I ask myself now, what is your message? You know, is it eat, drink, and be merry? Because that's kind of what it was, you know. It's all sunshine and whiskey, and it's a hell of a life. And, you know, I'm young and crazy. All of these songs and things that, like I said, I really feel convicted now. You don't know at the time, you know, you think that you're just giving people an escape, and here I am entertaining folks, and that's a good thing. And it may be a good thing on a human level, but people don't need anything except the gospel. They need the gospel more than anything. I think that the greatest human need is forgiveness, and that comes one way. So I've been really struggling with what to do from here. And when I understood the gospel and I believed it, I started thinking in a new way, and I started writing some songs, and I actually recorded an album, and I want to put it out. And its lyrical content is very much a man wrestling, grappling with his faith. So I'm hoping to get that out soon. But where to go from here as far as popular country music and what people maybe would expect out of me is, you know, I'm not sure I can go back to promoting the party and promoting the lifestyle of a rock star and trying to, you know, do all that. So it's a whole new adventure, you know, but I wouldn't go back.
You know, when I was a much younger lad, I was in Nashville, and I had already had, I was 25, and I had probably 10 years of experience doing radio DJing, television, music DJing, and primarily in the Christian music area, pop music. And when I was in Nashville, Country Music Television had me in queue. CMT had just gotten started, and they didn't have any hosts or shows yet. They were just flipping country music videos. Okay. TNN was the big thing, the Nashville network, back in the day. And I was in queue, believe it or not, to be the first CMT DJ.
Wow.
While I was doing, I was at Way FM in Nashville. I don't know if you're familiar. I'm there, 88.7. And during that time, I was, I don't know, maybe 6 months or a year. I was kind of in queue waiting for them to be ready and get a program together. And I'm just, I was doing like a lunchtime shift and then Saturday afternoons. But I was grappling with the like same things you're talking about, because I was going from, I got in this to be doing like ministry. I got in it to do Christian broadcasting and to be like a Dick Clark of a Christian genre that was growing, instead of just like churchy music or Southern gospels. Like, instead of something like that, there was something new and emerging, and I wanted to help present that to the world, was kind of my thing. But then I have Country Music Television knocking at my door, and they're like, well, this is a big break. But it's not. I was going in the other direction, like getting, am I going to step out of this into that? Instead, am I going to step where you're kind of at? Am I going to step out of it over into here? And I'll tell you, I made the choice to just leave. And I went back, I'm in Michigan. I went back to Michigan. And I just starting with youth and churches and just kind of went and started my own little video business and just started teaching in churches. And I just left it all together. But then in retrospect, I always had in the back of my mind, what if I would have been on a national network introducing and talking and interviewing people like Frankie Ballard? At the time, it would have been like Reba McEntire and Garth Brooks or whatever. And I wouldn't have been talking about my faith. I wouldn't have been doing, however, the exposure for what my personal life was would have been so much wider.
No.
So like, I'm just throwing it out there as you're contemplating. I'm contemplating with you. Like, I almost had the reverse regret, or it's not a regret. You go where you think you need to go at the time, but think, what if I would have stayed? And sure, I would have been just popular music and good times and sunshine and whiskey. However, could have on my own time spoken to thousands of people that wanted to hear me speak and not speak about my faith in private. Or you think about the Alice Coopers that have found a way that they're comfortable with. And that earlier it was like Charlie Daniels, strong faith man. And he just altered a little bit of his lyrics from his smoking weed days. And he just kept going. And he kind of mixed the two instead of abandoning it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm one to offer you advice. I'm just throwing out there because those same thoughts in a similar way had gone through, you know, my mind at the time. And I've seen other people do it. I like sunshine and whiskey. I like Hell of a Life. But then I'd like to hear a gospel album too, you know. And
yeah.
From Frankie Ballard.
I have a tendency to overcorrect, you know. And I've come to this realization about what Christ is really offering and what salvation really is. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, I got to get out and I got to get in the church. And, you know, and that's been the last couple of years of navigating how to react. What are the implications of this? And so I think that's sound advice through telling me your own story.
Yeah, and Frank, if you don't mind me, keep just offering this conversation is, I mean, think about what Christ himself did or where he went. He wasn't in the synagogues.
Yeah.
He was with the people who needed to hear the message that would never hear it in a church. Or even, and I'm not trying to talk anything. I'm just throwing thoughts out there that when I think of guys like Alice Cooper, it's even hard to wrap my head around because it seems so extreme, the darkness. However, they're closest to a light that they're ever going to be just because who that man is that's putting on an entertainment show. And then they'll accidentally run across him on YouTube, latently talking about his faith in Christ. But if he went off and just started just hanging in a church, and Alice Cooper disappeared, and Vince, whatever his real name is, came back, all those millions of kids wouldn't have access to what Alice Cooper now brings. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
I believe that there's going to be, I can't go back, you know?
Sure.
So either way, the message is changing. The words between the songs, the answers in questions and interviews and things moving forward, it's going to be true to my faith because I'm changed. The realization or the thing I have to kind of reckon is the culture is not going to like that.
Right.
The mainstream culture, it doesn't want to hear about Christ. They don't want to hear about the Bible. And that's okay if my career gets marginalized and I'm pushed aside to a smaller audience or I can't grow into some superstar. That's okay. I still love to do what I know I was born to do. And I'm excited to see, you know, my wife, I think, thinks of it in the best way. She said, honey, just imagine it's a surprise party. You know, you stay faithful. You stay true to what God has called you to do and with the message he's put in your heart and then see what happens, you know. So I don't want to run the other direction. But I also don't want to go back to where I was. So I'm looking forward to putting this new album out and being faithful to the message. And I believe God will put in front of me the people he needs to hear that message. And as long as I'm faithful, I hope the dots will connect. But
you know what I appreciate about you? I appreciate about you, Frankie, is what you're saying is pretty common when somebody's career is done and they're like 70 years old. Meaning that they've lived it, they did it. In the back of their mind, they knew they need to get their life straightened up or get right with God and this and that. And they live all the fun for some decades. Kind of like playing a little Russian roulette, hoping they live long enough. And then when the career's over and nobody's paying attention anyway, there's not much in front of them, then they really get their lives right and they settle down. And I appreciate that really you're in a prime and you're willing to make that adjustment. And that's real faith to be able to go.
Thank you for saying that.
Yeah, oh, for sure. So, you know, whatever you come out with, come back on. We'll highlight it.
Yeah, I'm excited. It's if nothing else, the past few years have taught me that tomorrow's not promised. And, you know, if we wake up tomorrow and are able to put our feet on the ground, that's a gift from God. God has given you the day to make choices and have conversations, and I just want to be faithful with those moments that God gives me to help my family, to lift other people up, to do what I do to the fullest of my ability and in a way that honors God and honors the grace he's given me. So I'm happy, man. It's It's a funny place to be in. You know, you see your momentum from this dream and this career that you started, you see it waning, and you see the young crop of TikTokers taking over the place that you used to have in mainstream music. And you would think that, you know, I'd be in despair, but the truth is I'm happier than I've ever been. And I'm just proud that I still have, you know, a voice, and I still have a guitar, and I still have a life to live, Lord willing. So I want to sing and play about the truest passion and write songs about the truest passion in my heart. And that's truly God now. You know, God has taken up residence in my spirit, in my soul, and he's my greatest treasure. Christ is my greatest treasure. So I can't help but sing about that. And come what may, you know, we'll see what we'll see if certain people don't ever want to come and see me again because they don't want anything but sunshine and whiskey. Well, I don't know what to say because, you know, I'm a new man. And thank God for that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great timing too for your daughter to grow up and to have a dad with that perspective.
Yeah. If I have to be gone as much as I certainly will have to be gone to be a musician and play live, make records, I don't want to have to answer her question, which is inevitable. When someday she looks at me and says, "Dad, why were you gone so much?" I don't want to have to say, "Well, because I was out there shaking my tail feather and trying to get, you know, attention from everybody." You know, I want to be able to say, "Because I had a message in my heart from God to give people hope and give people joy and share the gospel and share my faith and, you know, give her an answer that I can stand by, you know, and be proud of." So it's a whole new ball game, but I'm just happy to be in the game.
Good. Well, it sounds like you're in a good place, and I won't keep you. I'll let you get back to her and your wife, but you're welcome back anytime, sir. I'll keep a track on your career, whichever happens with it.
Well, I'm going to put that album out, and I think you're going to like it as a fellow, believer. Yeah, I'll come back on and we can talk about songs or see what you think. I'd love to know your opinion. It's got some good guitar playing on there. I tell you that, man. You're gonna love the production.
Awesome. All right. Thanks a lot, Frankie.
You got it, Ken. God bless you.
I'm going home to live with Jesus. Sing songs about since I laid my burden down. I'm going home to live with Jesus since I've laid my burden down. Well, glory, glory, hallelujah, since I laid my burden down. Glory, glory, hallelujah, since I
counted among the outlaws, he said, "Come, follow me." People from all walks of life since have been becoming outlaws.